And even it thought, come on, let's chat.
Welcome back, listeners. We've been having a learning curve. We're learning the software, we're learning the new tools, so thanks for sticking with us. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Lovey.
How's it going?
Good.
Awesome. Let's talk about knitting.
Let's do that.
What's your on the needles this week?
This week on the needles, I am working on the faceted ripped socks out of the Kasbah, and it's truly a beautiful yarn, and the colors are coming up lovely, and the yarn is so yummy that I'm not sure if I want to continue knitting the sock or if I want to keep it as a pet ball of yarn.
The Kasbah is really exceptionally lovely stuff.
And every time I stroke the ball, I hear some purring. And I don't know if it's me or if it's the yarn.
Would it be purring or would it be buying?
No, it purrs with pleasure.
Ah.
And I have a sneaking suspicion it's me purring, not the yarn.
Perhaps.
Perhaps?
Perhaps. Well, the rickrack rib, the slip stitch pattern that you're doing them out of really shows the variegations nicely, so yeah. What a good choice.
Yes.
Go me for picking it.
Yes, absolutely. You're the best daughter ever.
Yep. What else are you working on?
I'm also working on the rip-ra.
Slow down.
Rick-rack rip socks, which is also out of the small box of socks, pattern box. And I had been shying away previously from working with patterns that have twisted stitches and faux cables and whatnot. And I am trying to expand not just physically, but also mentally and in my skills. So I've been working on that, but I've been working that on metal needles, which are hard on my hands. They are not as bendy and flexible as the Bryson needles or bamboo needles would be.
That's true.
Yes. And I've put a few more rows onto my Icarus shawl.
Excellent.
Yes.
I'm going to put the link to the little box of socks in the show notes. I'll have it linked to Amazon, but if you have a local yarn shop that carries it, please do buy it there and support your local businesses.
It seems I'm trying to knit my way through that sock box.
Through the whole box of socks?
Through the whole. Well, there are one or two patterns who don't really make my heart sing, but it is altogether a great success.
Excellent. Well, I'm a bit sock blocked. And while the definition of sock blocked is a little bit adult, I'll link to it in the show notes. But essentially, it's the knitting version of writer's block. So kind of like knitter's block, but anyway. I've been trying to finish a bunch of stuff before the cruise so I can free up my needles. And because we're taking classes on the boat. And I thought, well, what a great time to finish things. But the problem is everything is not really finished enough. So I finished one sock of a pair. I finished one of my Regia silk socks. And those needles are free. And I'm plowing through my second monkey sock, which is actually coming along swimmingly. I knit the first one about 8 months ago, and it's on display at Pearlescence because I had a feeling it would take me a while to finish the pair. Just because if it's not a vanilla sock, I can't work on it everywhere.
You are having second sock syndrome.
I don't have second sock syndrome. You have second sock syndrome.
I do not.
So
I just finished the faux cable sock out of the little box of socks that I had started earlier.
Well, listen to me. I'm the mom. I always finish everything. I don't have second sock syndrome.
Anyway, while I may or may not have second sock syndrome, I'm trying to get it done. And so that's going pretty slowly, but I've also wanted to spin. I just can't find what I really want to work on. So I'm feeling a little bit at
loose ends.
Yeah. So that's where I am with everything. And actually, this is a great time to segue into
When Knitting Attacks.
This week, while I was trying to finish some of my hand-spun socks, which Mom is working on as we speak,
I didn't have a vanilla sock to work on while we're recording, and I like to keep my hands busy so my voice doesn't shake, and I'm not quavery and nervous, which is kind of ridiculous because when I work, all I'm doing is talking to people and having a big audience, so this is really silly on my part. But yeah, I didn't have any vanilla socks, And I can't be working on the Icarus, obviously, while I'm recording, and I don't want to work on anything where I have to count.
Which vanilla socks are perfect for. So while I was trying to finish them, I had had a pretty rough day at work. It had been a long day, not a rough day, just a lot of work. And I went to pearl lessons for Thursday night knitting, like I always do. And I was trying to close the toe, and I thought, it really feels like one side has a lot more stitches than the other. But I always check that they're evenly divided, so I just kept going until I had 8 on one needle and, like, 20 on the other needle. And I thought, this doesn't look quite right. And it turns out that I had been decreasing on the top of the foot, but not the bottom of the foot consistently. So it didn't quite work out, and I had to rip back the better part of a toe that I had been trying to slog my way through.
But I did the same thing with my second faux cable sock. I was a few stitches short, which I guess is better than what short? A few short of a dozen?
A few nuts short of a...
Well...
Something.
Maybe this is something new. A few stitches short of a pattern.
There you go.
And, but I don't really count that. It happens to me occasionally. And, I just ignore
it. I think
people
should start using that in their vernacular to imply that someone is crazy. Well, you know, she was a few stitches short of a pattern.
Or maybe a few stitches short of a row?
I like that better. A few stitches short of a row.
Good.
If you can manage to work that into your regular vocabulary, awesome.
Yeah, like people don't think we're crazy enough already. With our strange knitting and all this weird stuff that we do.
But yeah, so that's about it for me.
Okay.
For when knitting attacks. Do you have any knitting disasters this week?
No, no disasters. And the misshapen toe was too minor to really acknowledge as a knitting disaster.
Okay, well that's good. Well, this isn't really a when knitting attacks, but it was a weird day. I went to the Maker Faire yesterday and saw Yarn Harlot, it's always lovely to see her. I saw her a few years back in Los Altos when she was there. Last year I saw her in Petaluma, and this year I saw her in San Mateo. And it was perfectly lovely, and it was at the Maker Faire, which is this, like, really interesting, people making cool things out of unusual
materials.
So I bought a couple of journals that were made out of reclaimed hardback books that had been thrown away by the library, and they actually had beautiful covers. And he just fills them with, again, reclaimed recycled paper that the mills were throwing out because they were essentially paper mill ends. So it was reusing stuff and reclaiming stuff, and it was really, really cool. There wasn't a whole lot of yarn there. But there were, I think, 4 vendors selling yarn or fiber, which was fun. And, of course, the Yarn Harlot, which is always a delight. People were taking pictures and knitting, and she's so... She does really well with all the cameras flashing and all of the people and the happenings around her. So that was nice. And then in the afternoon, there was a knitting session with the Yarn Harlot. And I actually got to chit-chat with Stephanie before all of it happened in the morning, because I ran into her at the... Kelly Dyes booth. It's spelled C-E-L-L-A-C-H, and I think it's pronounced Kelly. But it was lovely. We just chatted a little bit, and then she did the knitting group thing, and they'd only set, I think, 4 or 5 chairs out on the rug. There was almost
what?
A riot. I know, right? So she says...
Knitting Harlot, and they put 4 chairs out for her. Who planned this?
The Maker Faire people. And so there must have been 50 people who were standing room only.
Obviously, they have no clue about how popular
and no matter how much you
public
tell
appearances
them.
Are. Yeah, well, I remember when we saw her in Los Altos, somebody laughed at the local yarn shop owner because she expected 300 people, and what, 350 showed up?
Close to 400, I think.
Close to 400? Yeah. Who wants to come hear somebody talk about knitting? You know, I think if she went on Comedy Central...
She'd do great.
She'd do great, yes.
She'd write a letter. Everyone, let's all write letters to Comedy Central and see if they'll put Stephanie on as a stand-up person. Anyway, so there was basically almost a riot while people were trying to figure out where they were going to sit, and a bunch of us piled up. If you had good joints, you essentially sat on the rug and on the floor in front of Stephanie, very much like story time.
At her feet?
At her feet. And she started to show how she was knitting, because one of the questions somebody asked was, could you show us how you knit? And I think she describes it as Irish cottage knitting. But I did get a video of it. She let me climb all over her so that I could shoot from above. And I actually got a pretty decent video. I watched it last night after I loaded it on my computer, and it's pretty good. Once I get some of my more AV adept friends.
AV? Audio visual.
So I need to figure out how to slow down the video because she knits like lightning. So that was pretty exciting. It was awesome. I got to take pictures with people in the sock, and Stephanie signed my book, and she signed it to us, actually. If you look at the...
Oh, she... how do you say it, an inscription?
Yeah, she inscribed it. It says, for the Knitwear Girls.
Oh, I'm so charmed.
Yeah, maybe we'll give it away as a prize later, or maybe we'll just
keep
it.
No.
I guess we're keeping it. Anyway, so that was pretty exciting. That was my little random outing that I did yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of fried food, which I always enjoy.
Sounds delicious.
Very nutritious as well. Deep fried everything.
Well, don't tell me you got deep fried Twinkies.
They didn't have those, but I would have tried them.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, there's that.
So what was your haul besides the book?
Oh, I bought the three journals that were made out of reclaimed books. Andrew, the husband, is a Trekkie, so I found an album cover that had been turned into a journal. I'm really into journals. I don't know if I've mentioned that. I really like having journals. I carry one in my purse, which I refer to as the manifesto, because I write all my ideas down in it.
Yes, we still have about 25 of the old journals that you bought when you were in high school at the house.
Yeah, but they're full of my brilliant ravings. I mean,
not
writings.
All of them.
True.
No.
Anyway, so I got those, and I got the one skein of the Kelly dies, and that's it. I actually did really well. I bought very little.
This was Jasmine 2008, I guess.
Jasmine 2008 went to the Maker Faire, and she left unscathed.
And Jasmine 2007 stayed home and pouted.
Probably.
Yes.
But in any case, it was a lovely, lovely day. So I had a pretty good time. Met some friends there, hung out with people I hadn't seen in a while. It was very pleasant. So that's awesome. And I think we're ready for the next segment. So for this episode's Mother Knows Best segment, we're going to talk about two things. First, we need to start our holiday knitting now. It's May. We have 7 months until Christmas, or your winter holiday of choice, but I tend to find that knitters tend to freak out in December about their gift knitting. And the one year where I was insane enough to knit for everybody, I started in May and finished well at least 2 weeks before Christmas with no stress.
Yeah, but that's because you're incredibly organized and you started in May.
Well, what I'm saying now is that if everyone wants to knit for Christmas, or if anyone wants to knit for Christmas, you need to have your family place their orders this week. Let them know that if they want stuff for Christmas, you're not going to kill yourself over it, and that they need to place their requests now.
So the it that Stephanie talks about won't take over.
Exactly. There will be no it. You can read the it story and laugh. It'll be delightful.
It's really funny if it's not happening to you.
It's definitely more funny when it's not happening to you. So that's the first tip for Mother Knows Best this week. And the second one is I was going to talk about my sock process. Now, I used to have second sock syndrome until I figured this out. When I go out, I always have a vanilla sock in my purse so that I have something to work on. If I finish the first sock while I'm out and about, I immediately cast on the second sock. That's one way of battling second sock syndrome. But as soon as that second sock is done, in order to avoid not having any socks on the needles, I cast on another set. So I'll have 20 or 30 pairs of socks going at once. And this only really works if you have multiple sets of needles, which I happen to.
And this is Jasmine what year?
It doesn't matter as long as I'm working on it. Jasmine 2008 didn't say anything about starting everything and being project monogamous. I am project amorous. I am...
Yes, you are.
I am. I am what I am. I like to work on a lot of things at once. Lots of irons in the fire. I'm the Casanova of knitting.
My answer to second sock syndrome, when that was an issue, is I would cast on both socks at the same time, then knit the cuff on one, knit the cuff on the other one, knit the leg on one, knit the leg on the other one.
So you're talking about two socks on two separate sets of needles as opposed to two socks on one circ or two socks on two circs.
I really like the idea of socks on circs, but I found that having two socks on a circular, it took me longer to knit. It slowed me down because I had to switch a ball of yarn. or switch from one to the other, and that seemed to take a lot of time. And when I didn't pay attention, I managed to cross-pollinate and knit with one the yarn from one sock on the other, and that just doesn't work.
Yeah, not so much.
No.
I've never heard of socks needing the idiot cord in between.
Umbilicus.
Umbilicus?
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it really works if you have a tendency to ad-lib your sock pattern, because if you knit a sock and finish it and go back and say, I wonder what I did with this sock, I can't remember. I know you have a mind like a steel trap. You walk into a store and look around, and you can recite the entire inventory.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yes. I also have an iron or a metal mind, but it's more like a stainless steel sieve.
Well, you catch the big things.
True.
That's the important thing, really. No, I'm actually worried about my monkey socks not being quite the right length, but since the cuffs are always under my pants, it doesn't matter. I said underpants. Anyway. Yeah. So our main segment for today we're calling TV to Knit By. I'm admittedly a TV junkie. We have a TiVo, which makes it really, really easy for me to select programs and kind of be really into them. And I also do Netflix, so I watch a lot of TV on DVD. So when I'm doing a lot of spinning or a lot of knitting around, say, holiday times, or while I'm prepping for holiday times, I like to just pop in a disc of something or an episode of something and watch it all the way through. But you can't watch everything and knit. But there are different levels of involvement required with different shows. So we've got a short list of programs with varying degrees of attention required.
Difficulty.
Difficulties. So, for example, if you want to knit lace and you don't really need to focus on the TV, you need to be watching programs like One Tree Hill or Charmed or Naked Archaeologist. I also added Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy, and Hell's Kitchen. Those are mostly done through language cues as opposed to visual cues. So you can knit your lace and keep your eyes on your chart and not miss anything from the show. And they also don't count on those. None of these programs count, which is always frustrating, as if you're trying to count for a project and they're counting somewhere else, and it's just very distracting. Do you want to talk about the definition of a ribbing project?
A ribbing project is...
A ribbing program?
A ribbing program is not as hard as a lace program. You need to be able to pay attention to shifting from knit to purl and purl to knit, but it doesn't take up your total brain power. So the programs that we classified as ribbing are Blood Ties,
which is an awesome, awesome vampire show,
Buffy,
which is no longer on the air but Netflixable,
Project Runway. Well, that's
but you ribbing. Have to look up, but that's, you can still rib and look up and down.
Yeah, true. They're not teaching technique. It's one of the reality shows that one of the few reality shows that I enjoy.
Me too. I love Tim Gunn.
Yes, he is so dapper.
Top Chef, but we're giving that a drool advisory warning, because everything they cook on that show, I have been really, really into wanting to make myself or eat. Another show that we're going to add the drool advisory warning to is Dirty Jobs.
Yes.
Mike Rowe is kind of a hottie.
He's very drool-worthy.
Incredibly drool-worthy.
Also, Jasmine likes to watch Bones. She has a morbid fascination with guts and
forensics, crime, justice, and David Boreanaz. He doesn't hurt either.
I can watch that too, because I'm not quite as much into the show, so I can just knit and occasionally ignore what's going on. Jasmine also picked Heroes.
Oh, Heroes is a great show. It's not entirely involved, but there is some subtlety in there that you need to keep an eye out on. But ribbing is not as involved as lace.
And you added House. That's another one of Jasmine's shows.
I love House. I'm a TV doctor. I love TV.
So, and we have added at the last one, BBC's Robin Hood.
Which is the best worst show ever, by the way. It's incredibly campy. It's very, the good guys are so good and the bad guys are so bad, and there's a fair amount of eye candy.
Ooh, yes, Richard Armitage, a major drool factor.
According to Mom, I'm more of a Jonas Armstrong kind of girl, but that's me. But the last category, we've got the garter stitch part, where, you know, you need to have your eyes planted firm on the screen, but you can do the basic repetitive stuff. This is also great for stockinette in the round or stockinette in the flat. Lost is one. I find that Lost has done a lot of really good job. They've done a really terrific job of layering the stuff. So there's a lot of visual layering as well as plot crossing over, which is really interesting to me. I really like how they've written it. It's all exposition, so I love it.
And there are 10,000 subplots going on.
That's the exposition.
Yes. Okay, fine. Boston Legal.
Oh, that is all. The writing is really tight. The dialogue is really tight. But the visual cues are what make it hilarious. It's not all banana pies in the face. And
I find myself shrieking with delight during the show.
Yeah, so you have to be careful not to drop your knitting while you're laughing hysterically. Another one that I like to keep my eyes firmly planted on the screen for is Dancing with the Stars.
Absolutely. That's absolutely a garter stitch project.
What a terrific show to knit by, because it goes on for an hour, hour and a half. There are a lot of commercial breaks. If you don't have TiVo, it's good to be able to knit through those or get up and do stuff. But it's still a fairly big commitment as far as the program's concerned. Good-looking dancers, amazing dancing, you know. Great music. It's definitely a garter stitch project. The next two shows are going to have mature advisory warnings, meaning if you have kids in the room, you may not want to watch either of these. They're Showtime programs.
No, you don't want to watch either one of these.
With
if
kids
your kids
in the room.
Are, yes.
They've got some adult content, some violence. So make sure and check the ratings on these if you do have children and you watch these programs, because we don't want to have suggested something that is completely inappropriate for
well,
the family.
Your household.
I don't have kids, and my dogs don't mind.
And you're the youngest.
So I am the youngest.
So I guess it's okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
But Dexter is one of my new favorite shows. Michael C. Hall from 6 Feet Under plays a serial killer who works for the forensics department. And
he's a blood spatter expert.
Yeah, he's a blood spatter expert, and he enacts justice. So if someone slips through the system because of a faulty warrant and gets off on a technicality, Dexter gets them. He kills the most terrible criminals, and it's very, it feels validating almost for
social justice.
It is social justice, and I think that's why it's so popular, because
now,
Dexter always gets the bad guy.
Now, I detest blood and gore and killer shows, and there are some shows that you like to watch, like SVU.
Oh, I love Law and Order series.
I absolutely refuse to watch because they upset me.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the subject matter. I don't like the blood and gore. And I like Dexter. I was prepared to hate it, and I really like it.
Yeah, Mom doesn't like it when we watch Dexter without her. So there you go. It's actually really terrific. It's very different from the books. If you've read the Dexter books by Robert Lindsay.
I haven't read them.
I'm trying to remember his. I know his last name. Jeff Lindsay. Jeff Lindsay writes them. And the books are very different. They kind of keep some of the same plot lines, but it's very, very loose. So it's really interesting, and it's a great show. He was on 6 Feet Under before. He was great on 6 Feet Under. He's even better on Dexter. Everyone loves Dexter. It's a terrific show.
Yeah, and he looks hot.
Yeah, they kind of hotified him.
Yeah, he buffed him up.
Yeah, which is okay. I'm completely on board with that. The other show that we started watching this last season on Netflix was The Tudors.
Yes.
And it's basically Henry VIII when he was 25, 26, 27 years old, I think.
Yes. Do you know that he got voted one of the 5 sexiest men in Britain?
Henry VIII or the guy who plays him?
The guy who played him.
Oh, and I don't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, but he's been in loads of stuff. It's a really excellent program if you're not really dedicated to history. If you're into historical fiction, it's terrific. Again, they kept the names and some of the basic plot, but everything else, it's a lot of political stuff.
The mature advisory for this one is the sexual content.
There's a lot of sexual content.
There's a lot of sexual content.
A lot of nudity.
And sometimes the way the show is done, the sexual content eclipses the historical aspects, which I kind of find frustrating.
It's a little frustrating.
I'm a history buff.
You are. And a lot of people haven't been able to watch it because they're history buffs, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see the second season on DVD.
I'm enjoying it too, but I like the costumes.
The costume is beautiful. They've got some really excellent stuff, and I don't know if they'll clean it up and put it on regular network television like they did with Dexter, but...
Yeah, Dexter got cleaned up
drastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lost.
If you don't have a Netflix account, I highly recommend getting one. There's no better way of watching these shows than just, like, being able to plow through a disc of them at your leisure when you have time. So, yeah.
Yes, sit down to watch the first episode of Dexter, and when you're finished, you have finished your shawl.
Yep. But I have to tell you, I've gotten more knitting done this way than more knitting, more cleaning. If I'm plowing through a room that's a total disaster, I'll toss in a disc of something and just work through the entire DVD. And then the room will be cleaner when the DVD's over.
Yeah, you're an evil influence on me. I don't like watching all that much TV. You've repeatedly called me the anti...
The anti-TV.
The TV Nazi?
TV Nazi.
But I'm enjoying these shows.
They're all good.
And I wouldn't watch them by myself necessarily. Some of them I wouldn't watch by myself, but sometimes it's also the company.
True, true. But in any case, these are terrific shows to knit by, and we recommend them all. Next week we'll be talking about, we'll have a special Mother's Day special.
Yes.
Since we have a mother and a daughter.
And Mother's Day coming up.
Yep. We'd like to say a special thank you to Brenda Dane of Cast On, Heather Ordover of Craftlet, Barkin Knit, and Marley of Yarn Thing for airing our promo. We'd also like to say thank you to Patrick Lydon for providing us with a theme song. Until next time, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.